This work is the Lord's. And if I listen to the Lord, he will lead. Helping others, working in the community, caring for others. This is what God calls us to do. And Psalm 127 has very practical advice on how to not have all the building we do in the community become a waste. Unless the Lord builds, and unless the Lord watches over the city, we build and watch in vain. It seems so simple. Just ask the Lord, invite the Lord into our work. But sometimes for me, life gets in the way, and I forget that the Lord is very interested in everything we do, in every work that we do. But I'm very thankful that when I remember and I ask him back, he is still there. I read my Bible, I go to church, I have Bible studies, I pray, and still I get in my own way. Life has so many distracting opportunities that I sometimes get caught up in the world. Inviting God to build with us is about having a heart that knows God, that hears him, and obeys what he says, that recognizes him for who he is and worships him for who he is as God. For me, it's about realizing that he is God, and I am most definitely not. The way that I know God is to study my Bible so that I know his character and his heart. And then it is easier for me to obey what he says. Again, remembering that he is God and I am not. Today we are going out to build and to watch in our city. We are being sent out to build in places that really need our help. Faith in action is about inviting God into our work. When we work with God's priorities, we will never work in vain or waste our time. Why do we build and watch in our community? When we are doing the Lord's work and doing the work in his name, we glorify him. We work together, we build together, and we worship together. 1 Corinthians 3 says, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let us each take care about how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that is laid like Jesus Christ. As I was reflecting on building, I started thinking about the other people that God sent out to build in the Bible. A couple of people came to mind. Nehemiah first came to mind. So Nehemiah was an exiled Jew who had become a member of the king's court in Persia. And after a time, he received permission from his king to go and rebuild the wall. So he left for his ancestors' home. When Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, it was destroyed. It was wrecked. But Nehemiah had been sent to rebuild a wall to protect that city. And so he rallied the people. Everyone got involved. Now, when Nehemiah called his community together, he didn't say, okay, now come with me and I'll pay you a lot of money. He said, no, pick up a trowel. Today we are picking up trowels. We are building. We are all doing different things today, but I guarantee one thing that will be built is relationships with each other, the people that we are sent out to serve, and a deeper relationship with God. Rick Box tells us that in the account of Nehemiah, it shows us 5 key steps that he took as he was paving his way. The first thing he did was he prayed. He prayed diligently, and then he carefully assessed the situation. He looked for 3 days. He also had a compelling vision. If we want other people to help us do the Lord's work, we need to communicate a vision and help others see our dreams for building. He also found leaders. Everybody got involved. Bring others along with you that also see the Lord's wisdom. That's why for me, it is so important that I do community work with other Christians. He also built collaborative teams. Some could even say faith and action teams. Together we will do great things. The last thing he did was he encouraged commitment and accountability. Doing the Lord's work is definitely not easy. And without commitment and accountability, we will not succeed. The second example comes from the book of Ezekiel and the prophet Ezekiel, whom God commissioned to stand in the gap. The Lord says, I searched for a man among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap, but I found no one. I think that is probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible. How disheartened it must have been for God when he looked around. He wanted someone to listen to his directives, to do it his way, not our way. He wanted someone to understand the importance of being there for others. Now, this verse deals with the sins of Jerusalem, but I really believe that we have permission to apply it to our lives today. For me, standing in the gap has been a Bible verse and a Bible story that has really helped me as I have taken on building in the community. I think of our lives and the lives that we help like walls around the city. Some of us have very strong walls, and some people in our community have big gaping holes, and some people are looking the other way and whitewashing their walls to pretend that they really don't see the gaps. The wall is around us to protect us from our enemies, but it is very hard, if not impossible, to stand in the gap and fight your enemies at the same time. Many people do not have the tools or the skills to repair their walls, and they need somebody to stand in the gap and somebody to help them find tools and strategies. Now, God most definitely does not say do it for people. God says stand in the gap until people can take a breather, find the tools, and practice the skills to keep their walls strong. In our community, we have many situations that are causing walls to crumble. Poverty, homelessness, addiction, just to name a few. But today, we are going out to stand in the gap with intention. And I know that God is honored. Again, when a person has a crumbling wall, it's impossible to build at the same time that you're fighting off those things that cause the wall to crumble. God does nothing by accident. People with needs do not just show up around you in the middle of your gap. He has given you the resources to meet needs and to stand in the gap for others. Remember, it's not either or, it's both and. It's our responsibility to move forward in our own gap and reach out to others on our way through and then build the wall behind us. Now, you all know this, but being a gap stander and building, even with God's blessing, is not an easy feat. It is hard work. But throughout history, we have seen that with courage, boldness, and God, one person can change the course of society. Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, Nelson Mandela, Moses, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Thomas Edison, Steve Jobs, and the list goes on and on. Many of these people did not change their world by themselves, but they had the vision and helped others see that vision. Too many times when I'm asked to stand in the gap, the first thing I say is, no thanks, that is way too hard. If it could have been done, it would have been done already. I can't do that. There is definitely somebody more equipped to handle it than me. But if God asks you, he will equip you. Believe me when I tell you, I do not feel qualified to stand up here and share this message. But I am passionate about building and standing in the gap and letting others know that they can do it too. So here I am. Moses said, "Don't send me. I do not speak well enough to lead people." Jonah said, "I am not passionate enough. They won't listen." Jeremiah said, I'm too young, they'll laugh. Gideon said, I'm a nobody, nobody will care. Most of us feel the exact same way. It's not my job, and it's not my gift. But sometimes, somebody needs to step up. God is still looking for people to stand in the gap and build. Today, again, we are standing in the gap. We are building up the lives of our neighbors, our community, and our church. And we do indeed have someone in heaven standing in the gap for us. And may we never forget that in Jesus, we have a perfect advocate who will never abandon us. Amen.